You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff, this is Triviality.
Hello and welcome to Triviality, the game where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge. My name is Neil. I'm here with Jeff and Ken and Matt back from Puerto Rico. How are you, Matt?
I'm still back.
Are you?
I was back last week when I was on the episode too.
Well, no one knew that though. No one knows where you're.
That's true. Fun facts. Where in the world is Matt? I was in Puerto Rico.
And speaking of that, you can go on our Triviality shop and get that t-shirt so that you can follow Matt's travels.
One person purchased it recently. Shout out
was
to
it
that
Jane?
Person. No, she does not wear anything with my face on it. I don't allow it. It'd be weird.
How was Puerto Rico, Matt? Were you playing trivia every night on the beach?
That's what we did. We just went into a hotel room and played online trivia from our Airbnb.
There you go.
We get crazy. We didn't do that. Why would we do that? I try not to think. It's really easy not to when you have fruity beverages in coconuts.
Ken, how do you like beverages in coconuts?
I've never had one, but I'd like to someday.
I could see you drinking a nice coconut water.
I like a coconut water. I haven't had it out of the coconut.
From though. The source?
Yeah.
All right. Jeff, you probably had coconut from the source.
I think so.
Okay, I thought
so. Everybody had this except for me.
I don't like distinctly remember it as like a life-changing experience, but I probably have.
I want the experience though.
Oh. Well, yeah, what's the equivalent of drinking a coconut water from coconut in Japan? Is there like a Japanese delicacy that you only can get?
Natto for breakfast every morning.
What's natto?
Fermented soybean things. It's very what would you call it? Contentious.
I tried to eat the Kobe right off the cow, but that didn't go very well for me.
Just biting a cow's ankles till it screamed. Enough of that talk about Puerto Rico and cow's ankles, but we have a very special game for you today.
It's called cankles.
The cankles. The
cow ankles.
The cow ankles, yeah. I was trying to think of a way to get moo in there, but I couldn't.
Moving on.
Yes, thank you.
moving on.
Well, maybe our first guest who's going to be competing today has had coconut water from a coconut because they're coming to us from the West Coast, from California, Oakland 5 supporter on Patreon, which we appreciate. Jen, how are you? Welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be here. And yes, I have had coconut from the source. I ruined a kitchen knife trying to do it. But...
And you didn't cut yourself or anything, right? This was all safe?
No, okay. It was all safe.
Who knew that we talk about source coconuts so much today?
remind folks at home a little bit about yourself before we partner you up today.
Sure. Yeah, I was on a previous episode probably like a year ago where I didn't do too well, but I'm hoping to do better today. My name's Jen. I'm from Orange County, California. I'm a crime analyst for a local police department, and I do lots of pub trivia at night, and yeah, just excited to be here.
Great. Catching criminals during the day, pub trivia at night. Sounds like a good life.
Yeah.
And who are you going to be partnering with today?
I'm going to be partnering with Jeff.
All right. And Jeff, do you have a team name?
Yeah, I think Jen has one inspired by her background. So what are we going with today?
Yeah, I figure we could do like a little law enforcement kind of theme and be give it a rest.
And arrest is A-R-R-E-S-T.
Yes. And, as one word.
Since me and Neil are going to be a team and we're going to kick some butt today, we have the right to remain violent.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I like that.
All right. Right to remain violent and give it a rest. That sounds like we got two great team names, but we need a host in order to start the proceedings. So we didn't know this before we started recording, but it's someone Matt knows very well and plays trivia with, which is awesome. We'll let him talk a little bit more about that. But coming to us from Crofton, Maryland, Oakland 5 supporter on Patreon, Sean Miller. How are you, Sean?
Yeah, I'm doing great, guys. It's great to be on today.
Yeah, great to have you. Great to meet you. And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Like you said, I'm in Crofton. It's kind of right in the middle between DC and Baltimore. Live here with my beautiful wife and our dog Obi, who just turned 2 years old a couple weeks ago.
Has Obi stopped jumping up on everyone who enters the place?
No, Obi makes sure everybody gets a chance to pet him because he only stands like 12 inches off the ground, so he has to jump up to get pets. But I'm a fisheries biologist here with the State Department of Natural Resources. Up until recently, I've helped monitor and manage the blue crab population in Chesapeake. So when you think Maryland, you think crabs. That was me.
Oh, nice.
And
crab man.
Hey, crab man. Until recently, I just now transitioned to oysters. So now I'm doing oyster lease farming.
So should I diversify your fields?
I got to get all the seafoods in.
From crab man to oyster man. It sounds good. It sounds like a sequel to From Justin to Kelly.
He went rogue in the crab, so he got, you know, you're on oyster duty now.
When you go rogue with the crab, do they put the bands on your hands?
Yeah. Turn in your bands and cages.
Yeah. Hierarchy is oysters, and then if I keep messing up, I go down to seagrass.
Well, hopefully that doesn't happen, but you put a game together for us today, which we appreciate. We're excited to play it. We have both teams, so let's get the rules and see who's reading the rules. We'll make it a surprise today.
Triviality Podcast is two rounds of 20 questions worth 10 points apiece. At halftime, there's a special swing round by this week's host. In the final round, players wager points they've earned for a chance to become the cream of the crop.
I'm unjustifiably in a position that I would rather not be in. But the cream will rise all the way to the top.
Surprise.
Surprise.
Very surprised.
Whatever I chose.
Whatever Ken chose, dealer's choice.
We either did or didn't see that coming.
Exactly. looks like we're ready to play. I'm going to partner with Ken here, as we said. And Sean, feel free to take it away.
All right. Round one, question one. Your category name is Space Shuttle Program. The Space Shuttle Program operated manned space flights from 1981 to 2011. Over the course of its 30-year operational life, the program had 5 shuttles built that saw time and space. For 10 points, name 3 of these 5 shuttles. And I got a couple bonus opportunities for you. If you can name all 5 of the shuttles together, you get a bonus 5 points. And for your second super-duper bonus, if you can name the 6th shuttle that was built as a prototype and was used as an atmospheric flight test vehicle, but never saw space time.
All right, we have 5 guesses here and ready to give our answer. Not sure if we even have 3.
I'm hoping you love space shuttles.
I like them quite a bit. Do you have any guesses?
I have guesses, but I'm not sure if they're real or just like car models.
Oh, okay. Fire away. So,
I wrote down Challenger, Discovery, Envoy, and Expedition.
Okay.
Are those anywhere near what could be possibly correct?
You said Challenger, you said Discovery, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I know those two are correct. Okay. I don't believe the other two are.
Envoy and Expedition, those are just Fords.
Those are vans.
Envoy, yeah. I think GMC made the Envoy. Anyways, but Endeavor, I think, might be the E you're looking for.
Okay, that sounds good.
I remember Endeavor being one. Columbia was the one that blew up in 2004, 5.
Okay.
And I'm trying to remember the 5th one. Has another like maritime-ish name, I want to say. Yeah, I can't think of a 5th one, but I'm comfortable knowing that we have at least 3. So, okay. So we'll just go ahead and lock in. We'll do Challenger, Discovery, which we both had, and we'll do Columbia.
Okay. On my paper, I have Columbia and Voyager, and on Neil's paper, he has.
I wrote Discovery, Atlantis, and Challenger.
All right. So your answers are Columbia, Challenger, Discovery, endeavor, and you were on the right track, Jeff, with another maritime thing, but you had to go underwater and a little fictional. You got Atlantis was the fifth one. And your bonus that nobody took a stab at for the prototype that never saw space-time was Enterprise.
I always thought that was fictional. Okay, that makes sense.
So if you get three of them, you get the full 10, and then you had to get
both teams are getting 10 points.
Yeah.
Correct.
10 points.
Yep. All right, question number two. Category is the world's sports ball. Soccer, or football for our international listeners, culminates every 4 years with the FIFA World Cup. Since 1991, when the Women's World Cup was first held, both men and women are able to compete in their respective tournaments at the highest level. While some nations excel at one or the other tournament, only one nation has succeeded in winning at least one men's and women's FIFA World Cup. Tell me which nation that is for your 10 points.
So what do you want to do? Brazil, England, U.S.?
Yeah, I kind of like Brazil.
Okay, let's do
Brazil.
I think
Jen and I have talked it over, and Brazil seems like our logical answer, so that's what we're going to go with.
Yeah, I had a bunch of ideas. Germany is usually really good. I was thinking about Japan, France, and Brazil, but we ended up going with France.
Yep. So Brazil would be a good guess. They haven't got it done on the women's side. They hold the record on the men's side. They've only been to one women's final and lost. The answer we were looking for was, Neil mentioned it, it is Germany.
Should have gone with my gut.
The men's, they won back in 2014 under unified Germany, and they won as West Germany a couple of times before that. And then the women won back-to-back in 2003-2007. Question number three. Category is, the innocent can never last. With data collection beginning in 1851, what month of the year has seen the most named tropical storms and hurricanes in the Atlantic Basin? Notable storms that have formed in this month over the years include hurricanes Isabel, Ivan, Rita, and most recently in 2017, Irma and Maria.
All right, Jen, do you know this one just by chance?
I don't know anything about weather. I live in California. Just kidding.
No, we had a month of spring / winter, January. That's about it.
Yeah. I immediately thought August, but that's literally just a guess.
Okay.
But maybe July, August?
I thought... And I could be wrong here, but I thought hurricane season kind of ran from like August. And then I remember like 2005 when Katrina hit that it like was really long. They like ran out of like the 26 named ones and they went to like the Greek letters or whatever. And that ran till like January, I want to say. So I think it's like August through January.
And okay, do you want to do August then?
I think this might be kind of in the middle of that, honestly.
Oh, okay.
I was leaning towards like October or maybe November. Especially with like Rita being a later letter, because they just do it in series. So even if they had like one or two storms a week, I was thinking this might be like October, November, but I it'd be a coin flip.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, August was literally just a guess. Let's do October then.
Okay, we'll do October. I feel pretty confident we're right there. Either way.
We thought it was towards the beginning of the year, so we said April.
All right, we got guesses for October and April. So, Jeff, your logic was spot on, but your window needed to slide just a hair.
September.
The season runs June 1st to November 30th.
Oh, okay.
And in the middle of that, we've got September.
Got it.
Got it.
We were close.
Yeah, we're right in there.
Neil, you had a hunch there. You're still a little bit off, but you had a hunch.
I was close. That makes me feel good.
And if you want to save money on your trip to the Caribbean, that's a good time to go.
Everything's cheap. Open. Just make sure you get the insurance. Yeah, I don't think anybody picked up on the clue in the title there. The innocent can never last. Wake me up when September ends.
Oh, okay.
Okay, this is how this game's going to go. Okay.
All right. Question number four. Similar title. Want to know how I got these scars? Sharing its name with a well-known member of Gryffindor, what is the name of the brightest star in the night sky, which can be found in the constellation Canis Major?
How are you on Harry Potter knowledge, Jeff?
I feel like I know some characters.
I know Sirius is a star, but I don't think that he was a Gryffindor.
Sirius
was
Black?
He?
I think he was, yeah. I think him and James were in Gryffindor palling around together. I think Sirius is the right answer.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Too much of a coincidence not to be the correct answer.
That's what I'm feeling, yeah.
Sirius. And also, why so serious? I got you. I got you.
There you go.
Oh, the scars. Okay.
Ken got the clue. Yep, it is serious. Good job, guys.
We actually have to listen to the categories now, because sometimes you don't have to. But yeah, and good thing for serious too.
An extra 6 seconds of listening. I apologize for that.
At least he started a radio station too. Good for him.
Oh, I was going to say thank you for giving us the best Bulls intro of all time.
Yeah.
All right. Question number 5. 10 points from Gryffindor for improper attire. When airing its finale in 2008, MTV's Total Request Live created the top 10 most iconic music videos of its run. The video for what song, released in 1998, topped their list?
All right, we have an inkling off of the clue here, and we're going to lock in.
What are you thinking, Jen?
All right. When I think of like inappropriate attire, I was thinking of Christina Aguilera or X-Tina. So maybe it's Dirty. Would that have happened in 98?
Could have. Yeah. I mean, that would have been very early for her, but.
Dirty.
Yeah. is there anybody else you can think of? Maybe Lil' Kim? I don't know. I don't think she topped the charts, though.
I don't think so either. She definitely had some
attire.
Choice attire.
Yeah.
yeah. Britney Spears, maybe? I'm a Slave for You?
Okay. I thought that was 2000, but I think Hit Me Baby One More Time might have been 98, and that was a very famous.
Ooh, yeah, and she was wearing like kind of a scandalous little schoolgirl situation.
I could see that. TRL so would go nuts for that kind of a thing.
Do you want to go with Britney?
Sure. Schoolgirl attire, right? Gryffindor? I could see this. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
Yep, we went back to the Mind Palace to go to Jeff's memories of watching Britney Spears in a schoolgirl outfit, and we said, "Hit Me Baby One More Time, Britney Spears."
All right, yep, you guys, Give It a Rest, walks back to it just in the nick of time. Christina Aguilera's Dirty did make the list, but it's number 5. The ones we were looking for was Baby One More Time by Britney Spears.
Sweet.
It's a very impressionable video as a teenage male.
I bet.
Being 13 in 1998 was a wonderful
what a time.
Well, I remember when that video came out, and then when she did the Rolling Stone cover, everyone went nuts too.
I missed it the first time getting my Tostino pizza.
There's a Teletubby, I think, featured on that cover too.
I think you're right.
All right, so after the first 5 questions, Give It a Rest, 30 points, and The Right to Remain Violent, also 30 points. Close game.
All right. Good work, guys. With that score update, we'll go ahead and just jump into the second half of round 1. Question number 6. Category of classic literature. In Homer's The Odyssey, Odysseus and his men were captured by a cyclops. While conversing with the giant, Odysseus gave a false name to his captor. Later on, after he escaped, the freshly blinded cyclops was unable to summon help from his friendly neighborhood cyclopses due to this trickery. What was this false name which aided Odysseus in his escape?
All right, we're going to lock in with a smart guess here.
Do you know this answer from the smart angle, Jen?
No, but I do see friendly neighborhood cyclops in the question, so maybe it has to do with Spider-Man? Like
I was wondering the same thing.
So like Peter Parker?
I don't feel like that would fit in there. I thought about that myself, but and then I was thinking about like maybe Miles Morales. He's in the animated Spider-Man, which is very, very good.
I saw the first one. I didn't see the newest one.
Odysseus gives his name as Miles Morales.
That's right.
or what is the name of the newspaper? Or there is kind of like, no, that's not a Cyclops guy. That's like a octopus guy.
Yeah, Doc Ock, Otto Octavius. Mm-hmm. I could see Octavius being, although that one strikes more as like a Latin type name than a Greek one to me. Thinking kind of from the friendly neighborhood angle, we think there's some kind of Spider-Man clue here that we're missing maybe. And gives a false name. We're just going to say Miles from Miles Morales is the name he gives.
Okay.
Yeah, this one, for some reason, I had sort of a Abbott and Costello angle on this for some reason. I thought if they asked the Cyclops who just intruded, and he said nobody, and they're like, oh, well, you have no problem then, so that maybe he said his name was Nobody to get away. So that's what we said.
All right. I owe Give It a Rest an apology for the unintentional misdirect. There was no Spider-Man clue meant to be in there.
But
Neil got this one. That is Nobody.
Clever. Wow. I believe I'd heard that now that
I think about
it.
Starring Bob Odenkirk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is blinded, stabbed, and when he came out and called for help, they said, "Who hurt you?" He said, "Nobody." They said, "All right, well, go back to bed, idiot."
The listeners at home won't have to hear 20 minutes of "Who's that Spider-Man guy?" So we kept that
but it happened.
All right, question number 7. Category is the GOP. Though the U.S. Republican Party tends to have a disfavorable disposition towards the LGBTQ plus community, which is usually reciprocated, they have at least acknowledged the existence of the community's annual celebration of Pride in the month of June. Who was the first sitting Republican U.S. president to recognize Pride?
This sounds like a Jeff question for sure, right?
Ooh, okay. well, so thinking about it, my first thought, honestly, was Ronald Reagan. He seems like he wouldn't be the type, but I'm thinking in the 80s, it's possible. After that, you're basically looking at Bush, either, you know, senior or junior. And honestly, I could see like the early 2000s, George Bush recognizing Pride, you know, despite his affiliation with the party. So I mean, do either of those kind of feel more right to you, either Reagan or Bush?
Well, my first thought was Reagan. Okay. So,
well, why don't we go with Reagan? I mean, I don't think any of them is as unreasonable a guess as any other.
Okay. At least we'll learn something.
So we can't really picture too many of these presidents supporting Pride. I do remember Trump trying to score some political points with that community. Not that his policies were
supportive.
Very supportive, in my opinion. But we went with Trump, actually.
All right. We got guesses for Reagan and Trump. Yeah, the religious right kind of really locked their claws into the GOP about mid to late 80s. So that discounted Reagan's or even GW or HW's chances of it. A lot of people kind of forget that the Supreme Court didn't validate legalize gay marriage until 2015, 2016. So you're talking second term of Obama. So it is Donald Trump is your answer.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
In the very classy form of a tweet. All the way in 2019.
We call them X's now.
X posts.
X's, yeah. category number 8. Or not category number 8, question number 8. Category is mining. When adding up the value of all non-fuel metallic and industrial minerals, Arizona accounted for the most valuable mining industry in the U.S. in 2022, largely due to its prolific production of what elemental metal, contributing roughly 70% of total domestic production. And a couple of clues to try to get you a little bit of direction. This element shares its number on the periodic table with the following. The NFL's Eric Dickerson jersey number, the two-digit year of the 20th century that saw the first Academy Awards, and the title of Demi Lovato's first song release in 2022.
Most valuable mining industry. So I'm trying to think of maybe something that would be valuable. Lithium for batteries is valuable, but lithium is a very low number on the periodic table, so I don't think that's right. Can't imagine Demi Lovato released a song called Three.
What about titanium? Could that be a song?
That's in the 20s, yeah. I mean, Sia did titanium too, right? But
yeah.
The number is the
song. Yeah, never mind. I can see that. I think titanium is a reasonable guess. We're in that like 20s to 30s range. So let's go with titanium.
It's a good guess.
Okay.
We just said silver, perhaps.
All right. So silver and titanium, you guys are zeroing in on the numbers. Danced around it a little bit. The number was 29, of course. Yeah, I think Jen did say that out loud at one point during discussions.
Nickel?
I don't have the periodic table in front of me. I don't know where that follows, but the one we're looking for is copper.
Copper.
All right. Let's go ahead and go on to question number 9. Category is notable Oscars. To date, 12 songs have won the Oscar for Best Original Song that were written for animated films. Of those 12, only one was not for a Disney or Pixar production. What film was this song written for, much to Aerosmith's dismay when their first and only Billboard number one hit lost?
Yeah, so looking at the time frame, I can't think of anything other than Anastasia that would maybe line up. And Jen, you said you know one of the songs from that?
I think it's called Journey to the Past.
So I think that's what we're going to go ahead and lock in with.
Or something.
Anastasia?
Like yeah.
We said the same thing.
Well, I am definitely on board the Anastasia fan club. I had the soundtrack CD and had that on repeat for a very long time. But unfortunately, that was 97. You guys are right with the year 98. You did say the studio, DreamWorks, but it's the relatively forgotten film Prince of Egypt.
Oh crap.
We forgot Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston.
And Whitney Houston, yeah.
When song was When You Believe.
Don't forget the best song.
There can be miracles.
Don't forget the best song off of Anastasia, Romanov Rap. That's the one.
All right. Category is lingering European colonialism. Two cities located on the northern coast of Africa are still owned and operate as autonomous regions for what European nation, resulting in the only land borders between a European and an African nation. Citizens of these cities are self-governing, though they have been members of the European Union since 1986, when their parent nation joined.
So, during the whole African colonialism period, I believe the northern coast was largely dominated by France.
I was thinking that too, like Cote d'Ivoire.
Yeah. So do you want to say France?
I like that answer.
What are we going with, Jeff?
So I know the UK has Gibraltar. And I think there's a couple others there. But I think that Spain had a couple lingering ones in Morocco in that kind of area. So I think we're just going to guess Spain.
Spain and Morocco. Solid France. Guesses. Or sorry, yeah, sorry, not Morocco. Spain and France. Solid guesses for Northern African colonialism. Jeff, you're right on the money. It is Spain.
Hmm.
Nice job.
I got a little
France had a little
scared little the way you're saying that.
Keep you on your toes. Yeah, the cities of Ceuta and Melilla are both enclaves inside Morocco on the coast, right across the straits.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I looked them up on Google Earth once, and you can see like the walls from space.
Yeah.
All right. So after the first round, Neil and Ken, the right to remain violent, have the right to remain in first place. They have 50 points. Give It a Rest, just 10 points behind with 40. Let's head over to the swing round.
All right. Your swing round is just going to be a list of 10 things. You're going to name the 10 things I ask for in the category of Jeff's favorite bulge.
It's the equatorial.
The equator passes through the land of 11 different nations on its trip around the middle of the planet. Excluding the tiny African island nation of Sao Tome and Principe, what are the 10 other nations that the equator passes through the land of? As an anecdote, this does not include solely passing through territorial waters, which makes the United States, the Maldives, and Kiribati incorrect.
And we'll be right back after this break, though me and Neil are quite frightened.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we are back with our answers. But first, Neil, what are you selling this week?
What are you shilling?
What are you shilling this week?
As always, we are shilling Patreon. So both of our guests today are Patreon supporters. So if you'd like to join them over at patreon.com/trivialitypodcast, you get access to a host of perks like bonus audio episodes, our newest episodes ad-free, as well as many other perks. But mostly just to support our show and help us move along and continue to grow. So
I wish I wasn't on the show so I could give to Patreon.
Yeah, I think you would give to Patreon. I think Jeff would write a strongly worded email about the content of the show, and Matt would just put poo on her doorstep.
It's not a.
I would. I would sign up and then forget to change my card when my card expires.
Yeah, there you go. But if you'd like to join Jen and Sean at Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/trivialitypodcast. And if you have a little bit of extra money, I'd really appreciate a pre-order of my new book coming out October 10th.
Yeah, see, this is the important thing to show, Neil.
Well, yes.
Buy my book.
Yes, but I appreciate it, yes, if you pre-ordered the book. It's all about TV shows across history. There's over 35 TV shows, and I have a ton of trivia in there, Easter eggs, behind-the-scenes info. It's called Behind the Screens, Illustrated Floor Plans and Scenes from the Best TV Shows of All Time, and Jeff will put a link in the show notes.
Now that the shilling is done, let's go ahead and get the swing around question one more time, and we'll give our list.
Your swing around question in the category of Jeff's favorite bulge was, of course, about the equator. The equator passes through the land of 11 different nations on its trip around the middle of the planet, excluding the tiny African island nation of Sao Tome and Principe. What are the other 10 nations the equator passes through? This does not include solely passing through territorial waters, which makes the United States, Maldives, and Kiribati incorrect.
And of course, I wasn't even going to say Sao Tome and Principe.
I know.
Obviously.
you were all over the territorial waters. Right.
What we did say is Brazil, Indonesia, Thailand, India, Congo, Argentina, Ethiopia, Kenya, Philippines, and Chile. Jeff, shut up. I know.
Oh, you're good. I Jen let me run with this one, and... I looked it up after the fact because I thought, I think I did pretty well. And then I was devastated to learn some bad news. But we said Ecuador, because equator, Brazil, Peru, Colombia, Equatorial Guinea, Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo, Somalia, Kenya, and Uganda.
All right. I'm going to give you guys list of 10 correct. You'll score them. Just go ahead and give Matt the scores, how many you get right. But your list is, starting in Africa, Gabon, Republic of Congo, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Uganda, Kenya, Somalia. Then we jump across the Indian Ocean and go to Indonesia. Then we jump across the Pacific Ocean and go to Ecuador, Colombia, and finally Brazil.
All right. It looks like the right to remain violent, adding 20 points to bring their score to 70, and give it a rest. Adding 40 points, doing very well in that round, bringing their score to 80, so taking the lead.
All right. Good work, guys, on that swing round. Good news for everybody that's not named Jeff, as I'm moving away from geography for the most part of the rest of the game.
All right.
So let's go ahead and jump into round two, question number one. You know, I'm something of a supervillain myself. What supervillain, who first made his appearance in The Amazing Spider-Man number 14 in 1964, can be described as having superhuman strength, stamina, durability, agility, reflexes, regeneration, genius-level intelligence, and is a master of martial arts? This villain also made his debut in the Marvel Cinematic Universe in 2021, though he still has yet to find employment with Gringotts Bank.
Okay, Relactin.
Does this sound like someone we may have mentioned earlier in The Green Goblin? Because I feel like...
during that Spider-Man mislead?
Yeah, during that Spider-Man mislead earlier, we may have talked about Norman Osborn. And
yeah, but he debuted before 2021.
I think the trick here is he wrote the Marvel Cinematic Universe, of which the original Spider-Man is not a part.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
He does cameo... I guess it's more than a cameo, but mostly
that was
a cameo.
Like the Doctor Strange one, right?
Yeah.
Where they're all like locked up.
Yeah, the Spider-Man 3 or whatever.
Yeah, unless there's something no called Troll. Oh no, goblins work at Green Goblin.
Yeah,
right.
I think
yeah, I'm cool with that.
Okay, cool. We're gonna go ahead and lock in Green Goblin.
You're the one who's out, Gabby. Out of your mind. So we're gonna say Green Goblin.
Yep. You guys picked up on those for sure. That is the Green Goblin. And yeah, like you said, Jeff, the trick is all the original Spider-Man trilogies were not considered MCU until Spider-Man No Way Home in 2021. All right. Question number two. Category is melts in your mouth. M&M's candy have had a dynamic history of colors and varieties as the flagship product of the Mars Company's food offerings. In 1995, they launched a public campaign to replace their tan-colored M&M, where people could call 1-800-FUN-COLOR to cast their vote. Of the three colors that were offered as options, which one of them was the winning replacement color, garnering 54% of the votes? And I'll offer a 5-point bonus if you could tell me the other two colors that were offered but lost the election, so to speak.
We are definitely locked in on the main answer, and we have a couple guesses for the other colors that America passed on.
So I remember being around in 95, mm-hmm. vaguely. My inkling is, was this blue? Does that sound right?
Doesn't blue already exist?
I've kind of thought it came about when I was a kid, or green. One of those two. It was definitely a color I liked.
Okay. I wrote down purple, but
okay.
I don't know.
Do they have a purple one currently?
They don't.
Okay.
Is this something that is current? Is that in the question? I just
you're
totally
the maniac who rips his M&Ms in half. Why don't you tell her what colors there are?
I smash them in half. Thank you. I don't rip them in half.
You go. I did not
what?
Murder him for
was
my
that,
robot.
Was that on a main episode or a bonus?
I can't remember.
That was a main episode, I think.
When yeah. I was like sitting
when
here smashing
ripping,
peanut
ripping
M&Ms.
Your M&Ms apart.
Well then, blue I think does exist.
Yeah.
They do exist.
They do exist. And when you say melt in your mouth and not in your hands, they definitely will melt in your hands. At least the shells do for me.
The sexy green M&M, that one's always been around, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Vanessa Williams?
They go way back. Ken and the green M&M. But and we just had a Green Goblin question, so I can't imagine it's green.
Well, we can do blue, but what do you want to just take a stab at the other colors that were available too? Just
yeah, I think purple is a. I think purple might have been in the running, and then
what about pink?
Purple and pink, actually, I think those are both good options.
Okay.
So
we'll say blue for the answer, and then the other two would be purple and pink.
I feel pretty good about that. Yeah.
Okay.
We said blue for the main answer, and shout out to Becca, who I lost $10 to because she could taste the blue M&Ms, and I said it's not possible, but she could. And we said pink and white for our other guesses.
All right. You guys both nailed the correct answer of blue. It destroyed the other two colors, getting 54% of the vote. The other two were pink and purple.
Woo!
Yay! So, nice. We got it!
So give it a rest. Gets the 5-point bonus as well.
Just right at the end there, we decided not purple.
Yeah.
So you know somebody who can taste blue M&Ms?
Yeah.
Are they a member of Eiffel 95?
No.
Okay. Isn't it 65?
Whatever. I don't know. It's because of the question.
I forgot what year the song came out.
Well, they were a different version of the band from 1995 because of the M&M campaign. Eiffel 95.
All right. Let's go ahead and jump into question number 3. Category is corny baseball. One of Major League Baseball's all-time greats has a number of credits to his name, including the highest vote earner in the first Hall of Fame induction and still holding the record for highest career batting average. However, he was never able to claim a World Series title. The franchise he played for later used their predatory instincts after his retirement to win 4 World Series titles without him, with the first in 1935 and the most recent in 1984. What franchise is this?
I was thinking this was... either like Ty Cobb or Cy Young.
I wrote down Sid, but I think I was thinking of Cy. Oh.
But I don't know. The Yankees, they're perennial winners. They've won like 27, 8, 9 times, whatever like that. Predatory instincts. I'm thinking it's a team that would have like a predator animal as their...
Orioles.
Yes, the Orioles.
I'm going to have to ask you to take a seat over here, Jeff.
This is the Chris Hansons. honing in on the predatory instincts, I think we're looking at a certain direction, right? We know it's not the Cubs because they won more recently. The Yankees, Mets, Giants, all that stuff that's kind of ruled out. But we like Pirates, you think? For Pittsburgh. I don't remember them winning anytime recently. So I think we're going to go with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
All right. When I think of predators, I think of tigers. And it was a corny baseball question, so he said Ty Cobb was probably the person that he was talking about.
Yep. Jeff, you were on the right track trying to find a predator, but you had to go more basic. It is the Detroit Tigers. All right. Let's go ahead and jump into question number 4. The category is Enema of the State. In the Pokemon video games and anime, the related characters named Joy could be found in every town visited by Ash and company. Despite looking identical, they claim to all be sisters or cousins of each other. In addition to physical appearance, they also dressed identically due to sharing the same occupation as their relations. What occupation do the Joys work as in the Pokemon world?
We're locked in.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with anything, but I know. We're locked in.
I know too.
And so, Jen, what is Joy's occupation?
She's a nurse, Nurse Joy.
Yep, we also said nurse. Also, the cover of Enema of the State has a sexy nurse on it.
Yep, in playtesting, I was definitely alerted that this would probably be a give me question for this group, but it is Nurse Joy.
They had to change the album cover because the Red Cross was upset.
Oh, really?
That she was wearing like the Red Cross insignia on the hat.
So they put the, what, Blink-182 logo on it?
Well, I think they just removed the logo altogether.
They didn't care about the outfit she was wearing, but that she had the Red Cross on there.
Correct, yeah, because it was copyright infringement. Hmm.
I like that, Sean, the first round you have the schoolgirl Britney Spears thing, and now you have a nurse.
You're really digging into my childhood psyche here.
This is Sean's Freud game here.
Not copyright. I think it was a trademark infringement issue or something like that.
Well, let's get the next penis, I mean, question.
Turning into an unintentional stream of conscious game. Or subconscious. All right. Question number 5. Your category is my. In 2003, what glam rock band accidentally set fire to a Rhode Island nightclub with their pyrotechnics? They were well past their prime, however, which could be described as when their highest charting song peaked at number 5 on the Billboard 100 in 1989.
I think I got it, Jeff.
Oh, wonderful. We're going to let Jen's going to go ahead and lock in for us.
So, Neil, I'm pretty sure it's Great White is the band, right?
It sounds, yeah, I remember this story very distinctly. I just couldn't remember the name. Great White. Yeah, they had that one big hit. Yeah, that makes sense.
I can't remember what that hit was. It probably has my in the lyrics, but we're going to go with Great White.
Okay.
Yep, same over here. Great White. I remember this.
Yep, you guys picked up on that, or remembered it at least. Yeah, the song title was Once Bitten, Twice Shy.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah, I saw the debrief on it. It was kind of interesting to see.
That's great.
The only
white.
One exit in the building.
Yeah. Not
crazy.
Great.
Not great.
All right. After 5 questions in the second round, Neil and Ken, Right to Remain Violent, just behind, up to 120 points. Give it a rest. Jen and Jeff are at 125. So, as I say every week now, it's anyone's game.
All right. Let's go ahead and jump into question number 6. Your category is false advertising. In 2019, Donald Trump made headlines. Shocker, I know. But this time, in what was likely an effort to distract from the investigation that led to his first impeachment, Trump offhandedly mentioned he was in talks to make a huge purchase for the nation. He claimed to have been in discussion with the leader of a European kingdom to purchase a territory from them, the largest of their 3 constituent countries. What's the name of the territory that he wanted to purchase?
Jen, we can lock in.
Okay, excellent.
He was trying to get his hands on Greenland, I believe.
That's right. Yep.
Which we've just been aching to add mm-hmm. to our territory. Yeah, we said Greenland.
Yeah, we too said Greenland, which the Kingdom of Denmark was quite surprised to hear.
Yep, that is spot on. It is Greenland, and you're spot on. They were very surprised to hear, and the Prime Minister remarked, "This is an absurd discussion. Greenland is not for sale. Greenland is not Danish. Greenland is Greenlandic." All right. Question number 7. Category is, that's a big stick. A common trait among most mammal species, sexual dimorphism means males and females of the same species express different physical characteristics, such as body size, antlers, and coloration. This differentiation tends to make humans use different terms to describe males and females of the same species. I want to know, what is the word used to describe a male of any species in the order Cetacea, which contains all of the whales, dolphins, and porpoises?
Jen.
Yes.
Obvious animal fanatic you are.
I am, but the only thing I thought of, I think it exists. Is there bull whale? Is that like a term?
Oh, bulls. Yeah, I like that. Like okay. Much like we would do that for cows. I think that tracks. So I'm. I think
but I've never heard of a
answer.
Bull dolphin, but I'm down to go for it.
Honestly, it's better than anything I was going to come up with. So I like it.
Okay.
Just based on Moby Dick, we're going to say Dick.
Hey, now.
Like the name Richard, you know.
Yeah.
Yep, of course. What else does it mean?
Don't come at me for not bleeping our answer.
Moby Richard. Got it.
All right, yep. Team Arrest did nail this one. It is bull.
Woo-hoo.
You got bulls, cows, and calves, whales, although you usually don't hear the term very often. I did put a small roundabout clue in there with a big stick. It's also speak softly and carry a big stick.
Teddy Roosevelt from Teddy was a bull moose. Yep.
All right. Question number 8. Category is leaves on the vine. Many people in the entertainment world are known mononymously, i.e. Madonna, Seal, Sting. What was the single name, which was a shortened version of his first name, of the Oscar-nominated Japanese actor who became known later on for his voice acting roles in Samurai Jack and Avatar The Last Airbender?
We're locked in.
He sadly passed away after voicing Uncle Iroh for 2 seasons of Avatar, which inspired a major character of its sequel, The Legend of Korra, to be named after him.
I don't think I'm going to get there.
I don't think I'm going to be of any help either.
Frank Oz.
We're going to say the great and powerful Oz.
Okay.
Yep. This is someone that Ken and I were talking about being in Conan the Barbarian, and this movie I used to watch as a kid with James Hong, former guest, called The Perfect Weapon. Went with Mako.
Mako.
Yep, that is Mako.
I have heard that name.
If you haven't seen the shows, it's hard to get to that. Yeah. Or the movies that Neil was listing.
Yeah, you'd recognize. He's a very good character actor. You'd recognize his face.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, he was nominated in 1966 for Best Supporting Actor in The Sand Pebbles. All right. Question number 9. Category is cuisine. While many versions and iterations exist, the Philadelphia roll is a staple in any American sushi restaurant. Excluding the rice and the nori, name the 3 main ingredients used to make a Philly roll at most restaurants.
Okay, Jeff, so I do know it's salmon and cream cheese, but I don't know whether it's avocado or cucumber for the other thing.
Oh, I think it's cucumber, because I've ordered Philly rolls before, and I don't remember having to say no avocado, since I'm not a big fan of avocado.
Okay, well, do you want to do salmon, cream cheese, and cucumber?
Yeah, I like that.
We had the same combo, except we said crab, cream cheese, cucumber instead of the salmon.
So, yeah, the 3 ingredients we're looking for are smoked salmon, which is regular salmon's fine, cream cheese, and cucumber.
See, I thought the salmon was in the Alaska. Like, it was the same, but the salmon was in the Alaska. It's been a while for me, though.
All right. Question number 10, your last question in the second half. Category is your impossible sports question. In the 2000 NHL draft, what team selected Canadian Nolan Schaefer with their 5th round pick, making him the 166th pick overall that year? If you're not one of the handful of people that know that fact outright, looking at the previous answers in round 2 should help you hunt down the correct answer.
So, Jen, Nurse Sharks, Greenland Sharks, Bull Sharks, Tiger Sharks. I'm pretty sure these are all variety of the shark. So do you want to go with the Sharks?
Sounds good.
Excuse me, Jeff. Where are they from?
San Jose.
As the famous Pat Foley would say, Sharks.
Yep, you guys were able to clue in on it. We had the Goblin Shark for Green Goblin, Blue, the Detroit Tigers, Nurse, Great White, Greenland, Bull, Mako, or Mako, and Salmon. They are all species of sharks. So the San Jose Sharks, good work.
All right. After the second round, heading into the final, Jen and Jeff at Give It a Rest with a very slim lead at 165. The Right to Remain Violent at 150. So wagers are definitely going to be important going into the final. And also important is for you guys to kind of check us out at SporkleCon. Neil, tell them more about SporkleCon.
Thanks, Matt. Yeah, this week is going to be SporkleCon. It's taking place September 8th through 10th in Washington, D.C. As many of you may know, it's the largest trivia and quiz con in the country. But most importantly, it's going to have $20,000 in cash prizes and charitable donations given away over the weekend, including a special appearance by Triviality on Sunday. But if you don't want to come see Triviality, there's going to be 50 events from all different skill levels, both individual and teams. And if you'd like to come see Triviality, come see some other trivia events, you can go to sporklecon.com and use our code Triviality to save $15 off a full weekend pass.
And speaking of special appearances, we just had a very special appearance on Matt's webcam of his cat and the cat's beehole. So thanks for that, Matt.
Yeah, I thought cats are supposed to be clean creatures, Matt.
Let's take that image and take it right into the final round.
All right, sounds good. Well, if you hadn't guessed, I'm a shark aficionado, shark fan. Big ever since I was, you know, probably 3 years old, I knew a couple dozen species of sharks. So with that, I'm going to use that as a jumping off point to make a themed final round, your categories for the final round. Question number one, sharks on people. Question number two, sharks on TV. Question number three, sharks on the big screen. Question number four, sharks on a plane. And question number five, sharks in a tornado.
All the wagers are locked in, and both teams are being aggressive, unlike the friendly shark. 30 points all the way down for both teams. So what are the questions?
All right, your questions for the final round are, question number one, your category was sharks on people. According to the International Shark Attack File, which contains records of all reported unprovoked shark attacks dating back to the early 1500s, which Persian Gulf nation has reported the most attacks in all of Asia at a whopping 23? This nation of over 86 million people measures up as the 17th largest in the world by area. Question number two. Your category was sharks on TV. The beloved 90s cartoon Street Sharks featured four half-human, half-shark crime fighters, sometimes on rollerblades. The quartet of mutant heroes consisted of Ripster, Jab, Streaks, and a fourth character. This fourth character was named after what famous real-life aquatic mammal who had no love for amusement parks? Question three, your category was sharks on the big screen. The 1975 thriller masterpiece Jaws is chock full of trivia nuggets, enough to write several themed games in itself. While drinking with Brody and Hooper aboard the Orca, Master Shark Hunter Quint hauntingly described the sinking of what real-life ship in World War II, which resulted in the largest loss of human life by sharks in history.
I got it, Neil. Don't worry about it.
Question number four, your category was sharks on a plane. The F-20 Tiger Shark was a light fighter jet that was developed in the 1980s and flew over 1,500 flights before the project was officially canceled in 1986, with only three fighters having been constructed, two of which crashed. The $1.2 billion project was the product of what major defense contractor, which most notably developed and supplied the U.S. Air Force with the B-2 Spirit stealth bomber? And finally, question number five, category was sharks in a tornado. The Sci-Fi Channel sparked a cult phenomenon with its hit film Sharknado, which released in 2013. The Sharknadoverse was expanded with the release of five sequels, one each year through 2018. I'm going to give you a list of five subtitles, and I need you to tell me which one was not a real Sharknado film subtitle. All right, your list of five is Shock and Jaw, Global Swarming, The Fourth Awakens, It's About Time. Oh, hell no.
All right, we have our questions. We'll be right back and see who will be today's cream of the crop.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
One particular argument, he ended up dislocating Ava's jaw. Ava, she was such a tough cookie. Rather than cry or scream or anything like that, she...
Or call the police.
Like she should have, exactly. What does she do? She takes an ashtray and she knocks him over the head and knocks him unconscious. That's how she fought back. She didn't know what to do, so she called Louis B. Mayer. I think I've killed Howard Hughes. What do I do?
Revisit a time when the pictures were still big and everyone was ready for their close-up. When you want Tyrone Power instead of Tom Hardy, Jennifer Jones instead of Jennifer Lawrence, or Robert Mitchum rather than Robert Pattinson, then From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
All the answers are now locked in, so let's have the questions one more time, see who will take the cake today.
All right, your questions one more time were: sharks on people. According to the International Shark Attack File, which contains records of all reported unprovoked shark attacks dating back to the early 1500s, which Persian Gulf nation has reported the most attacks in all of Asia at a whopping 23? This nation of over 86 million people measures up as the 17th largest nation in the world by area.
Just playing it safe and saying Iran.
Yeah, for this one, we said Iran.
Yep. You guys are both correct on that one. It is Iran. You had Saudi Arabia as a slight decoy, but they may have roughly half the population, and I think are a little bit bigger. All right. Your question number two was sharks on TV. The beloved 90s cartoon Street Sharks featured four half-human, half-shark crime fighters, sometimes on rollerblades. The quartet of mutant heroes consisted of Ripster, Jab, Streaks, and a fourth character. This fourth character was named after what famous real-life aquatic mammal who had no love for amusement parks?
Yep, we went with Big Slamu.
Also, Hollywood, we're waiting. Come on, let's make it happen.
Yeah, I recall Shamu from SeaWorld, and Jeff was able to get the great Slamu.
Yep, you guys even got the character name. I was just looking for Shamu to get you to Big Slamu, but thinking Big Slamu might be a little tough grab, but you guys nailed it.
Not for these nerds.
Yeah, look who you're talking to.
Yeah. The playtesters and your guys' interests did not overlap very directly.
These questions are jawsome, by the way.
Jawsome. All right, question number three, sharks on the big screen. The 1975 thriller masterpiece Jaws is chock full of trivia nuggets, enough to write several theme games in itself. While drinking with Brody and Hooper aboard the Orca, master shark hunter Quint Haunting describes the sinking of what real-life ship in World War II, which resulted in the largest loss of human life by sharks in history.
Not a very good movie, but Neil, you can...
Yeah, so for anyone who likes this movie, I guess unlike Ken, Broadway has a new play called The Shark is Broken about the time when the shark wasn't working on the set of Jaws, and it's written by Robert Shaw's son, so the guy who played Quint's son. But that would be the big speech he talked about regarding the USS Indianapolis.
Yep, we said the same. The Indianapolis.
Yep, you guys nailed it. It was the sinking of the USS Indianapolis. In real life, I think Quint said that a couple hundred people, or almost all of them, were killed by sharks. In real life, they estimated between 12 and 150 were actually directly killed by sharks, but still the largest by far. All right, question number four. Your category was sharks on a plane. The F-20 Tiger Shark was a light fighter jet that was developed in the 1980s and flew over 1,500 flights before the project was officially canceled in 1986, with only three fighters having been constructed, two of which crashed. The $1.2 billion project was the product of what major defense contractor, which most notably developed and supplied the U.S. Air Force with the B-2 Spirit stealth bomber?
Yeah, we and so for this one, we were thinking this was Northrop Grumman. So
we just stuck with Lockheed Martin.
Those are the two big players in the defense contracting world, and it was Northrop.
I've Woo. Never heard of that company.
Same.
Technically, it was Northrop before they merged with Grumman, but
oh,
still,
no okay. points.
Good
no
enough.
Points.
Technically, it's the same company that gave us that.
They merged with Grumman, though. No Grumman. No Grumman?
No Grumman.
I thought they merged.
No Gould?
They merged before the
It's fine, Jeff. 86. You get your points. Take your points.
Just messing with you.
All right, and your final question. Sharks in a Tornado. The Sci-Fi Channel sparked a cult phenomenon with its hit film Sharknado, which released in 2013. The Sharknado-verse was expanded with the release of 5 sequels, one each year through 2018. I'm going to give you 5 subtitles, and I need you to tell me which one was not a real Sharknado film subtitle. Your list was Shock and Jaw, Global Swarming, The Fourth Awakens, It's About Time, Oh Hell No.
We decided it's got to be Shock and Jaw is the fake one.
Yeah, we went with The Fourth Awakens just because it might be too similar to Star Wars franchise. They might not want to do that. I don't know. I haven't seen any of them.
They might especially want to do that. We don't know, though. Let's
they wanted
see.
To, they wanted to poke him. Okay.
I actually have never seen a Sharknado film myself either, but The Fourth Awakens is correct. Or sorry, not correct.
It's not correct.
Doesn't matter, you guys.
Let me do that one again. Yeah, so The Fourth Awakens was actually released on May the 4th, Star Wars Day. So that was a real title. The correct answer, which was the fake title, is Shock and Jaw.
Oh.
All right, after that final round where both teams did exceedingly well, looks like the team that was leading going in is probably going to come away with this win. I don't know what I'm doing here today. But Neil and Ken at The Right to Remain Violent coming in with 240 points. But today's cream of the crop is Jen and Jeff. Give it a rest. Give them the victory. They're the cream of the crop.
Outside interference, yeah, in my moment of glory. Now I'm living in a nightmare, and I am the cream.
Oh, yeah.
Neil, time to call our lawyers, I think.
I think so.
We're under arrest.
We are. And hopefully Jen can stick some evidence where we need it to help us out. Probably not, though.
All right.
Okay, Jen will read us the Miranda rights as we get off the air. But before we do that, we have to say goodbye to everyone. So let's start with Sean. What a wonderful game you wrote and put together for us today. I had a great shark theme for the second half, which was a ton of fun. Thank you for all of your hard work on this game. Any last shout-outs before we let you go today?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. It was a ton of fun to write the game. It was a ton of fun to be on here. You guys make everything very low-key, to just like we're hanging out for an hour or so to record here. Give a couple of shout-outs to all the playtesters on Discord, Eli and their partner, Johnson and Casey, and of course, playtester pro Louie. And my trivia teams back home, or here at home, are my OG team, Emma's and Mancy. And of course, our new team with Matt and Jane, Pikachu Pacabras. And then, of course, most importantly, give a shout out to my amazing wife, Miranda, not only watching our crazy dog during the recording to make sure he's quiet and entertained, but mostly for just always encouraging and supporting me to be the best version of myself. So yeah. I hope everybody can get a Miranda in their corner like I have.
Yeah, you would lose your Miranda rights if you didn't say that. Hey.
That's exactly right.
I was
right.
going to say that everybody needs to get Mirandized.
That's right. Well, thank
Cynthia Nixon.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Sean, for that. And Jen, thank you again. So great to see you once again here on the show, and glad that you got a victory today. Any last shout outs? And also, if you had to go into an interrogation room, which one of us would you choose to be good cop or bad cop along with you?
Oh, okay. Yeah, thanks for having me on again, guys. Glad we got the win. Glad I picked Jeff because there was a lot of geography up in that one. Yeah, I just wanted to thank my husband for lending me the office. And yeah, my shout out to my kid sister in the Coast Guard. For good cop, bad cop, let me think here.
I just love when Neil puts people on the spot, sits back and grins like an idiot.
I think we all know.
I think I'm going to go Ken for bad cop.
Good choice.
And Neil for good cop.
Excellent. That's a perfect choice, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
And Jeff and Matt for medium cops.
Yep. Yes. They can see ghosts.
Jeff would be the CIA. Jeff would be doing the CSI stuff and everything, cracking jokes. But Ken, speaking of good cops, bad cops, one thing that we have that are great are all the shows that we share a network with over at Airwave Media.
Yep, that's right. Airwave Media is our network. You could find them at airwavemedia.com, as you'd expect.
All right. Well, thank you very much once again to everyone. Thank you to Sean and Jen for joining us. Ken, Jeff, and Matt for being here as always. And my name is Neil, and that was Triviality.